Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
We're starting a three-week series on prayer, which usually when you say that, people are like, oh, look at the time, because people don't understand the value of prayer. They think, in fact, like, can I really tell you one of the main things people say to me when they ask me about prayer? It's this: why really do it? I mean, come on, let's be honest. God's God. I'm not. Does he really need me to come up and go, hey, God, do this? Can't he just figure it out on himself? I think he's God. So why do I have to ask him? And that's really a good question. And you know, it's a question most people have never had answered. But remember this, and we're not going to teach on this today, but you remember this. Say out loud, the body of Christ. When you gave your life to Jesus, you became a member, a part of the body of Christ. He is the head of the church. You are the body. Let me ask you a question. The head of the church is Jesus. Where is he seated today? At the right hand of God in the majesty on high. Is he on the earth physically? No. Are you on the earth physically? Yes. You are the body of Christ. The body of Christ has been delegated the authority in the name of Jesus to act in his stead. Not in our own will, but in his will. And let me say it very plainly. If you don't pray, if you don't act, if you don't give, if you don't fulfill the purpose of your life, God will not do it in my place or your place. His plan was to use us. And that's not a burden, that's a privilege. But prayer is when you exercise the authority that Jesus literally purchased for you in redemption on the earth in his name to go do his work. You know what Jesus told us to do till he returns? Occupy. You know what an occupying force is? You go in, you kick some tail. Can you say kick some tail in church? I just did. You kick tail, man, and you say you have no authority here, and you occupy till he comes. But the amazing thing about the family of God, we don't occupy through force. We occupy through the love of God and the message of a Savior. It's an incredible thing. So we're going to be doing 21 days of prayer and fasting. We will do it every year in January and in August. January, the 21 days, is more about your personal relationship with God. Kind of just a restart, you know, making sure your daily prayer life is in place. But in August, we're going to have what we call fasting and prayer for the kingdom of God. That means for 21 days, you're not going to pray for you. For 21 days, you're going to pray for the purpose of God. Now, to help you do that, we've done a few things. You can go to our website, the informational website, myvfc.info, and you can click on 21 Days of Prayer, and you can download two resources. One is a 21-day devotional that I mainly wrote and had some staff members write a few of those as well. And each day is a part of the vision of this church to expand the kingdom of God that we're going to pray over. 21 days. Then there is a prayer guidebook that you can download as well. But also then what we are going to do every morning, Monday through Friday, starting tomorrow at 6 a.m. in this room, we're going to have an exactly 1 hour prayer meeting, and the worship team's going to be here. We're putting a lot of attention to this because it's important, and we're going to come together. You say, well, I can't show up at 6, but you know, every time we do it, 50, 60, 70, 80 people show up because they work it into their schedule. You say, but I can't, there's no way I can do it. Well, maybe you could do this online. We are going to live stream it at 6 a.m. so you could do it in your house with us if you want. And you say, well, I can't do it at 6. Well, we're going to keep it up for 24 hours. Every hour on the hour, you can watch it. So at any time during your schedule, you can join with us and participate in that prayer meeting. So we're going to be doing that for 3 weeks. Saturday, there'll be no prayer meeting. Of course, Sunday, we pray here. But there will be a message that I give you every Saturday for 3 weeks. So that's what's coming along the prayer side of it. Now, the fasting part, people struggle with fasting because they don't understand it. They think, well, you know, if I get hungry, does God get powerful? God is not impressed by how hungry you are. Fasting is not about doing something that impresses God. Fasting is this simple. It's recognizing that you have an inward man and you have an outward man. The outward man is perishing. The Bible said the inward man is renewed every day. Spiritual growth and development is simply this: the inward man gaining the ascendancy over the outer man. That's all it is. And fasting is when you intentionally tell your outer man to shut up. It's that simple. Now, you can do it through food, social media. I mean, if you put down your iPhone or whatever kind of device you have for 21 days, you might find that next to impossible. It's telling your body no. Now, you will get pushback from the enemy of your soul. because he wants you to be dominated by what you feel, what you see, what you taste, what you touch, your past, your experiences. A really good friend of mine, we've been friends for over 20 years, pastors Allison Park Church in Allison Park, Pastor Jeff Leake, one of the best pastors you'll ever meet in your life, and even a better man. I mean that sincerely. What an incredible, incredible man. But Jeff told me a story about his father-in-law. His father-in-law was a missionary in South America and really had the kind of impact in South America that was literally throughout the continent. Incredible man. In his mid-40s, which is when he kind of made his real switch in his life and became really impacting, he felt like God was leading him to do something else, so he went on a 40-day fast. Now listen to this. He had them bring him out to an island out in the ocean that was deserted. It was about maybe 2 or 3 football fields. That's it. No one lived on it. And people knew where it was, but, you know, no one lived on it, so there's no resources there. So they brought him a big thing of water, and he had a tent, and he stayed there for 40 days with his Bible and whatever books he brought. That was 40-day fast. Now imagine this. Now, don't tell me the enemy of your soul is not in working hard to keep you out of this kind of lifestyle. 3 days, 4 days into his fast, a yacht pulls up and docks for 3 days. It gets worse. And out of the yacht come a dude and 3 topless women. That'll mess your fast up right there. Okay, I'll try this side of the church. Because guys are sitting by their wives are going, oh, baby. Let me tell you, people say to me, say, what would you do? I'll tell you, I'd be saying, Jesus, get me out of here. So you should be stronger than that. The Bible never told me to be strong. It told me to be smart. Okay, I won't go into that. That's another subject for another day. And man, for 3 days, they got off that yacht and walked up and down the few hundred yards right in front of him, topless. And he said, Dad, what'd you do? He said, man, I spent a lot of time in my tent. You will be opposed. And all you have to do when you fast, you don't have to go something crazy, don't eat any food. Just don't, what I'm doing is, it's called a pleasant bread fast, meaning you eat nothing that's pleasant to you. So I eat no bread, I eat no sweets, just simply things to sustain myself. And if I really want to suffer for God, I'd even eat some tofu. But it's just to sustain yourself. And you're saying no to yourself. That's all it is. So let's get into this today. Now, Jesus' disciples, like us, desired to know how to pray. They wanted to understand the subject. Let me read it to you. Here, Luke 11, verse 1. Now, it came to pass, as Jesus was praying in a certain place. So they're observing Jesus pray. When he stopped or ceased, then one of the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray as John the Baptist, also taught his disciples. So there was a pattern. John praying, taught his disciples how Jesus is praying. And they come and say, you know, Lord, we see you pray. And I see that something amazing's happening. Can you teach us how to do that? And so Jesus went and told them how to pray. Now, we call it the Lord's Prayer. How many of you are from a Catholic background like me? What do we call it? The Our Father. Y'all Protestants messed up the name, but we won't go into that. But let me read it to you out of Matthew 6, verse 7. Jesus said, when you pray, everybody say, when you pray. So what's the assumption? You're going to pray. Say it out loud. Just tell your body right now. You say, I don't pray a lot, but tell yourself. Say, you're going to pray more. Yeah, you will. You see, who am I talking to? The outer man. The part of you that's going to go in a box someday. Don't let it control you. It's dying. Don't let something that's going to be put in a box dominate your life. Let the real you dominate your life. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen does, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father, say it out loud, your Father. Your Father knows the things you have need of even before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, isn't it amazing? Jesus said, do not make vain repetitions. Don't think that God's going to hear you because you use a lot of words. He said, that's what heathen people do. Now, I'm not picking on Islam, but I know people that are Islamic. 3 times a day, they kneel toward Mecca and they chant, basically. and they have no concept of even what they're saying. So I'd never do that. I guarantee you every one of us have. How many of you have prayed the Lord's Prayer? How many of you, did you get everything in it? I ask people, I say, you've ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? Yeah. I said, did you get it? They said, get what? I said, what you asked for. What did I ask for? How many of you have prayed that at least 1,000 times? But if I said to you right now, without thinking, tell me everything you asked for, did you receive it? You'd say, well, let me think. Our Father, which art in heaven. His name's Art. Hallowed be your name. I thought your name was Jehovah. It's hallowed. Now, I've been in, you know, you play football back in the days when they let you pray. The coach would be cussing at you, dropping F-bombs, and then he'd say, let's kneel. The Lord's Prayer, like a rabbit's foot. Then he'd get up, start cussing again, and off you go. It's a vain repetition. The church made a vain repetition out of the thing Jesus said, don't make vain repetition. So what we do, he taught us how to pray. He said, we make a vain repetition out of it. It doesn't mean anything. See, it means something to me. Not if you don't know what you're saying. See, I was a Catholic kid, and I don't say this to disparage my background. No one taught me to do this, so that's a disclaimer. I was just a kid, and I would go to confession. And when you finish confession, the priest for your penance would tell you to say so many prayers, 5 Hail Marys, 3 acts of contrition, 4 Our Fathers. So you'd go up, and you'd leave there, and you'd pray these prayers. And I didn't know, you didn't have to light candles. I don't know much about the candle thing, but they were always all lit, and that bothered me. So I'd go up, you know, and it was always kind of sparse in there during confession. I'd look around. Whew, I'd blow out about 10 of them. Now, there was a dude just about to get out of purgatory, and I went, whew, and he went, gone. He went back, and he's like, God, what'd you do to my... I'm teasing. No one teaches that. Just... Now, you had to put a little coin in there, and real quiet, and it'd echoey in the room. You put a coin, people would do it. You'd hear it echo through the room. I didn't have any money. I have 4 brothers. We didn't have any money. So I'd just ding it with my finger, and it shook in there. And I'd light my candles, woo, then I'd go pray my prayers. And here's how I'd do it. I had to pray 5 Our Fathers, and here's what I did. No one taught me this. No one said this was appropriate. I'm simply telling you how clueless I was that these words meant anything. I'd say, Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be, he said, well, that's ridiculous. Well, here's the thing. Praying vain repetitions like the heathen does, they think they will be heard for their much speaking. Jesus said, do not be like them. In fact, Hail Mary, I'm being honest with you. No one said this. This is how I heard it. I thought it was Hail Mary. Because that's how, you know, people in my house talk that way. So I'd pray it this way. It's the only thing I ever said with emphasis. I'd go, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed art thou. And every time I get to the Hail Mary part, I'd remember that. I'd go, Hail Mary. Do not pray vain repetitions, for as the heathen does. Here's the deal. Heathens think they're going to be heard for their much speaking or their extreme effort. Jesus is saying, no. You are going to be heard because of the next words I'm going to tell you. Our Father. You're going to be heard because you have a Father in heaven. Not someone you have to earn or convince to love you. Someone that loved you before you knew he existed. Someone who loves you so deeply that if you believe that love, the Bible said, you can now love him back. So the first thing he said is, our Father. Now here's the reality of it. Say it out loud, our Father. Our Father which art in heaven. God desires for you to call him your Father. Now the next generation coming up in the church, they are incredible, incredible young people. They are, I'm telling you, the next generation coming up, the Christian kids coming up and that are in their 20s, 30s, and the teenagers, I'm telling you, you're going to see something happen in their lives. They're going to shake the world. But one of the things I see that concerns me is they address our Father as God all the time. Oh God, we come to you. Oh God, now can I say this to you? He is God. But do you realize Jesus never called him God but one time? And he was hanging on a cross when he bore the sin of the world when he said it. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Learn to call him Father, because an unimaginable price was paid for you to call him that. He's not just God to you. He is, if you've come to Jesus, if you've made Christ the Lord of your life, he is now your heavenly Father. That's why you'll see this over and over again. We say it over and over and over again. We exist as a church. We exist to help all people realize the unconditional love of God. Why? Because he's your father. If you don't know that God loves you first, if you don't know it's unconditional, you can't ever fulfill any part of the other picture. All you will do for the rest of your life, like the heathen does, try to make God love you, try to please God in your own effort, in your own works. That's why every part of this church, from this room to every, down to the littlest ones, we want them to know the unconditional love of God, that he loves you no matter where you've been, what you've done, who's done it to you, who's done it through you. So does that mean everything goes? No. What makes people think if God loves you, that that means he doesn't care how you live? I love my kids. Let me tell you, I care how they live. But my care for how they live is because I love them, not because I want to control them, manipulate them, and have a miserable life. He loves you. The first thing Jesus said when you pray for yourself or for the kingdom, recognize you're praying to your heavenly Father. Then he said, hallowed be thy name. It's a word of worship and adoration. It's a word of exaltation. You're saying, Father in heaven, I recognize you are my God and my Father, and hallowed is your name. I now lift up before you my life. You are the preeminent one. You are preeminent in all things. You come first in my life. I worship you. Worship is not a song you sing in a service. Worship isn't coming to church for 2 hours, hour and a half, or 30 minutes. Worship is when you are so in awe of who God is and that he loves you, it captures your heart. Worship is when you exalt God's will above your will. Worship is what you do with your attitude every day. See, this is a relationship. It is a daily thing. Worship is what you do with your attitude. It's what you do with your prayer life. It's what you do with your money. It's what you do with your time, your effort. Everything about me is either exalting my will above God's will or his will above mine. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Now, this is huge. Jesus is praying, pray that the kingdom of God would come to the earth. Pray that what God's kingdom is in his heart exists in its full capacity on planet earth. That's why Jesus said, again referring to us and the heathen, he said, don't be like those heathen that don't know God. They cry out for this and they want this and they want that. They need this and they need that. Don't you know, he said in Matthew 6, your father knows they have need of these things before they ask. But you, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all of the things they're killing each other for, I will add to you. Jesus is trying to show you a relationship between the Father and his family, not the God and his servants. Are we servants? Absolutely. Yes, we are servants of God, but you are a son and a daughter who serves, not a servant who's trying to make themselves into a son and a daughter. This is a family business, the Father and his family, and he's included you in the family in Christ when you gave your heart to him. Seek first the kingdom. Jesus said that when you put my kingdom first in your life, all the things you think you need, you desire and want, all the things people are climbing the ladder and killing everyone to get, he said, I will add it to you. Can I tell you something about the God we serve? It doesn't matter what this life has done to you or who did it. When the hand of God comes on a human being, he will lift them out of a dung heap. And my heart breaks for people who have never experienced God taking them from A to B. That all they did it on their own effort, on their own work. If you don't know what it feels like to be in a place where there is no way out except he rescue you and you come on the other side and the God of all creation has added to you, you haven't lived yet. That's why when I talk to you about walking with God, I don't talk to you about some hour and a half on a weekend. This is everyday life stuff that will change the way you live, that will you walking with your God. People say, well, you know, to get that job, you've got to know somebody. Maybe you do. But do you understand what it means to know God? That's why one of the main values of this church that we talk to you about over and over again is know God. Four things we want you to experience. To know God, to find freedom, to discover purpose, and then to make an impact with your life. Yeah, it's not about what you know, it's who you know. Do you know one breath of the favor of God on your life can take you places that 10,000 years of work never could. Doesn't mean you don't work hard. But the breath, favor is people treating you better than you deserve. And God said, I want to crown you with favor. He said, you put my kingdom first, I will lay my favor on you. I will lift you out of places no one ever thought it's impossible, but I'll put my hand on you. I will lift you up. Why? Because I'm your God. No. I'm your God who is your Father. Man, to know God, it's everything. In this church, you know God, and one of the ways we encourage people to know God in this church, to come to know Him as the Lord of their life, the Father that loves them, is through weekend services. And that's why I encourage you all the time, make it a habit in your life. Put Him first in your week. Teach, mom and dad, listen to me. I mean this sincerely. I would get on my hands and knees and beg you to do this. I've raised three kids, and I gotta tell you something. I would beg you to listen to this and act upon it. I'd beg you to do it if it would help. Put God first in your parenting. And I don't mean by being some weird kind of, Amish thing. I don't mean that. But you make God first in your kids' life. You get them here on Wednesday nights. So, well, that's inconvenient. We don't know how we can do that. Can I tell you something? If Jim Bob was playing football and the coach every Wednesday night said, Jim Bob after practice needs to drive 30 minutes to such and such and stay there for 2 hours for the football team, your tail would be in the car driving Jim Bob every week because it's important. And you should do it. I'm not having a problem with that. I'm not saying exclude them. I didn't say go in some cave and hide. But get your kids here on Wednesday night. So, well, it'll be a rough thing. I don't know if we can work that out. Work it out. You will beg God for the shot to work it out later. Teach your children, put Him first. Put Him first. Every Wednesday night here, there is a person, an adult, who has dedicated 1 year of their life to sit in a small group every week with your student and a group of other students that they're friends with and walk them through their spiritual journey. And they can have that from 9th to 12th grade. That is more priceless than gold. It is unimaginable. Knowing God is everything. And we do that here through weekend services. Jesus, He said, I want my house full. He literally said, I want my house full. He didn't mean a building. His house. Who lives in a house? A family. Have you ever heard this said? We're all the children of God. We're not. We are all the creation of God. We are not all of God's children. To be God's child, you've got to be born into the kingdom by the name of Jesus and receiving Christ into your life. We're all God's creation, absolutely. But to become a child of God, you got to receive Christ. That's why we focus so much in our weekends. And I want you to know every week in my heart is the person's heart who's far from God. I constantly have them in my heart. Knowing God is so critically, critically important. Do we value what God values? 1 Corinthians 8 verse 6 says this. Yet for us there is one God, the Father. Say it out loud, the Father. From whom are all things, and we exist for Him. Say it out loud, we exist for Him. That's worship. One Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, we exist through Him. You exist through Him, and you exist for Him. Let me give you an example. When our kids were little, and Alexa, our youngest, was maybe 2 years old, maybe two, maybe three at the most. She got lost. And it was in the evening, and we couldn't find her. Now, at this point in time in our life, in the history of this church, we had gone on television, and I had people driving to my house and parking in front of my house, like just sitting there. It was kind of weird and a little creepy. And I ended up getting a stalker. That's a special moment in your life. Well, have you ever had one of those? There were no class in Bible school. Stalker 202, it just didn't happen. So we had to be really cautious with our kids. And Alexa disappears. And I mean, she's gone. And this is a little girl. I mean, she didn't, go unlock the door and leave. She's gone. We're thinking, did she go outside? And your mind starts to race. And I mean, we can't find her. We're screaming throughout the house. We can't find her. And if you've ever had that happen to you, there's a panic that settles in you as a parent that is so unimaginable. And we're just about to call 911 because she's gone. Someone took her. And I mean, I am paralyzed with fear. I can barely talk. Can you imagine at that moment if somebody would have came up to me and said, hey, knowing what I was dealing with, said, hey, what kind of tires are on your car? Now, I would not have been kind at that moment. I probably would have, if they would have known what I was going through and said that, I probably would have thrown them to the ground to get them out of my way. Because if you don't want to help me find my daughter, get out of my way. My daughter's gone. I don't care about anything else. I was out of my mind. Out of my mind. And all of a sudden, Michelle says, John, I found her. And I go down. It was in the basement. And then we had a toy box with all their little dolls. She fell asleep with the dolls. You couldn't tell her apart. You know, but here's what I want you to get today. The reason I said that is this. That's your Heavenly Father's desire toward the world without him. That's how he feels about every person who's outside of Christ today. This matters because there really is a heaven and there really is a hell. And if someone isn't born into the family of God, they do not go to heaven. And this lasts forever and it is eternal. That's why every Christian should be about their Father's business. Amen. So Jesus said, go out into the highways and the hedges and the divided places and compel them to come. Why? He said, I want my house full. I want Alexa back. It is your job and my job to go get them. That's why this church, when people come to me and say, well, I don't like this, I don't like that, that's not necessary for me, and they're a Christian, I go, leave. Get away from me. Alexa's missing. And you want to talk to me about a light? Are you out of your mind? I go nuts in my head. I don't do it. I want to go, get away from me. Why? My baby's gone, and you want to talk about a color of a stage. I'm like, Jesus. Now, if you're not a Christian, that's fine. But if you're a Christian, be about your Father's business. He said, I want my house full. That's why I tell you. Ever say it out loud, 2 of 52. Say it again, 2 of 52. 2 weekends out of 52, you make a commitment that you bring someone with you that's far from God and doesn't know Christ. And I promise you, I'll point you to the best weekends to do that. Coming up this fall, the weekend after Labor Day, 5 weekends in a row, we're going to do playlist again. And that's where we take secular songs that are meaningful to people. And we produce them well. There's so many things around them. It's incredible. And I do a message around that song. Well, I don't like secular songs in the church. The Apostle Paul on Mars Hill did the very same thing. He said, in him we live and move and have our being, which you quote as scripture. But he said, that's what your poets say. He quoted the culture of the day to bring them to Christ. That's all we're doing. Amen. So I don't like it. I don't care. Alexa's missing. I'll do anything to get her short of sin. Do you care about what he cares about? If you know God, that's what it means to know God, that what he loves, you love. Then he went on to pray this. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. God, Jesus said, pray. This is what we're doing for 21 days. I want earth to look like it is in heaven. That's how I want you to pray. That God's will on, how is it in heaven today? How would marriages be in heaven today? How would kids be being raised in heaven today? What kind of freedom and peace would you have in your life? What would be going on the inside of you? If it was as it were in heaven. That's why the second thing we want you to experience in this church is not just to know God, but to find freedom, to get heaven on earth, to get free from your past. And the primary way we do that here is through small groups. Because you cannot live for tomorrow. You can't live for your tomorrow until you've dealt with your yesterdays. And healing and life change does not happen in a vacuum. It happens in the context of real and authentic relationships. That's why we're called the family of God. It's why it's authentic. It's why you don't come and put on a show. It's why we tell you we're not here to see through you, but see you through. So that we fight through life together. Because you are not designed by God to do life alone any more than my body parts are designed to do life alone. That's why when we've changed the way we do high school ministry, we now call it SOZO Wednesday nights. It's a great service and then a small group. So that your student can find freedom. And Lord knows this culture is doing everything it can do to destroy everybody. But you've got to find freedom in your life. How is it in heaven? He said, give us this day our daily bread. What's daily mean? God said, he said, your Father wants to be your daily provision in your life. He wants to be your ever-present help in your times of trouble. That's who he is. He's your Father. You don't make him do it. Alexa didn't say, Daddy, if I ever get lost, come find me. I went to look for Alexa because I could not look for Alexa. And the panic I felt, and I know in my heart, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. That's how I feel about every person who doesn't know me today. Do you feel that way about them, John? And my answer was no. Ask yourself that question, because hallowed be thy name. Worship him means what matters to you matters to me. And they are not my enemy, and they are not people for me to criticize. They are people for me to bring and to win in the name of Jesus by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit into the family of God. Give us this day our daily bread. Then he said this, forgive us our trespasses or our sins as we forgive those who trespassed against us. Again, it's getting past your past. It's being forgiven and learning to forgive. Learning to live beyond the bitterness of unforgiveness. So many of us have had horrific things happen to us that have stained our hearts. And it may have happened when you were very young, or maybe you were married and your spouse cheated on you and just devastated you. And you're stuck because you don't know how to forgive. And rarely do people, that if you don't know how to forgive, you rarely know how to forgive yourself. It's what you've received freely, you give freely. Remember this. When you forgive somebody, you're not justifying what they did. You're not saying it's okay. And it doesn't mean you have to go have a relationship with an unhealthy person. It doesn't restrict and take away wise boundaries. But forgiveness is when you realize that the prisoner you're setting free is you, not that person. Don't ever give somebody who messed you up any more of your life. He said, no. Your Father wants, he wants you to know how merciful he is to you, that he's forgiven you so that you can forgive others. That's why it's important for you to walk through every, we have so many different kinds of small groups here. If you're really dealing with deep issues like that, I would suggest you go through a freedom group. It's incredible. 13 weeks ending with a retreat here at the church, life-changing. Over 2,000 plus people have gone through freedom groups in this church. I'm telling you, it's remarkable. Everybody should be in a small group this fall, and many of you should be leading one. Small group leader training, I think they'll put the details behind me. Go sit through a training and say, well, I don't know if I could do that. I bet you can. How do I do it? You go do it. See, but I'm not perfect. We know. None of the leaders are. None of the pastors are. I know our wives are. Come on, man. Throw me a bone there. You know, I mean, come on. You know, they're not, of course. We just say that because we're not stupid. But here's the thing. Rally Day is the weekend of August 25th. That's when many of the small groups will actually be highlighted out in the mallway. Every person in this church, if you're serious about finding freedom in your life, get in a small group this fall. Not every other, well, I'm kind of busy. You're too busy. You say, well, my travel, maybe you really do have some unique situations. You travel a lot and you can't do it. You've got to find a way. Then start a small group for businessmen and women that travel. That's a great small group. How do we do it? I don't know. Skype it or put it on. You guys know how to use computer stuff. I don't know. Just clearly you're all looking at each other on the same screen. I'm sure there's a way. Then you start a small group for people. I bet there's a bunch of people like you. That's what we're talking about. You doing ministry. Not waiting for someone to do it for you. That's what you're called to do. Know God. Find freedom. Know his love. And then he said this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us. Guide us, Father, not toward this darkness of this age. Lead us into your perfect will, that heaven would be on earth. Lead us, guide us, direct us. God wants to lead you into the reason he created you, the part of the body of Christ, if you're a Christian, that he placed you in. You are a part of the body that the Bible said Jesus put you in that place as it pleased him. We exist for him. If you don't discover that place, I don't care how much money you make, how successful you are, how many vacations you go on. If you own a beach house on every beach in the world, you will never know what it means to be fulfilled until you live for the reason that you were created. And if you don't know how to do the third thing that every Christian should know, that we are very intentional about helping you do, is to discover your purpose. If you don't know how to do that and you haven't done that, you haven't lived yet. I'm telling you, you haven't lived yet. I feel so dissatisfied. I've gotten this, I've done that, and this. And we all have, anybody have some problems? I'll try this side of the honest church. Anybody have some problems? I mean, life can be tough. And why is it always so hard? Because you have an enemy. Can I tell you something about a man or a woman who can discover their purpose? That's what we're doing. We started it this week, the Our Church Experience. Ultimately, it's to help you discover your design, which reveals your destiny. It's so important. God wants to reveal to you your design so he can lead you into your purpose and your destiny. And when you begin to use that, not for yourself, but for the last part of the prayer, Jesus said, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." It's your kingdom. It's your power. It's your glory. I exist for you. And we call that making an impact. That's the fourth thing you do. Once you find your purpose, you make an impact with it. Now, the way you do that in the context of this church is through what we call the dream team. The dream team is not just the best players on the team and the great team because they're all the greatest. No, no, no. The dream team is because it is people living out their purpose, the dream of that God put in their heart, and finding a way to express it in a transcendent way. What do I mean by transcendent? It isn't about you. Until you learn that you serving beyond your problems, your wants, your desires, your needs, your issues, until you learn, and now here's what we're tempted to do. Lord, let me get 20 more things in line. I'll be back in a month. I'll be back in a year. You never get back. You start right now. Right now. Find a place that satisfies. You say, what if I start somewhere and it doesn't work? Go somewhere else. You know, if you serve somewhere in this church and you don't fit, we're not the mafia. You can get out. Find a place to serve on the dream team. And the last thing you'll do in the Our Church Experience is they'll lay out before you all the opportunities for you to find a place to serve. Well, you know, I don't want to go to church to do that. You don't go to church to serve. You serve God to serve. You know God to serve. You find freedom to serve. You discover your purpose to serve. And if it doesn't go to where your life is making an impact beyond yourself, you will never, ever live the life you were meant to live. And it ultimately culminates with him saying, thy kingdom, thy power, thy glory. Not my kingdom, Lord, your kingdom. Not my power, Lord, your power. Not my glory, your glory. And that's what these 21 days are about. Praying this for the will of God on the earth. And every day in your devotional guide, you'll see an area of outreach, an area of ministry in this church that I want you to pray over every day. And I'm telling you, if you'll do that, fast something. It can be a meal. It can be a certain type of food. Just something that tells your body no. It might be social media. 21 days. I promise you, if you'll do that and then just have a daily devotional time with God, you won't recognize yourself in a year. If you will know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make an impact, you will not know yourself. In fact, the part that probably terrorizes you the most is that you think nobody really knows me. People think I'm this way, and I'm really not. I really do want to be this kind of person, but I can't. You don't know what happened to me. You don't know what he did to me. You don't know what happened to me when I was a kid. I'm just messed up. We're all messed up. So I'm not messed up. That's where you're messed up then. You're in denial. Let's go to Narcissist Anonymous. You'll be fine. But here's the thing. Everybody is designed by God to live this way. And these 21 days are about us making a difference. So I want to ask you when I close this simple question. Let's make it practical now. What are you going to do Monday morning? Well, I can't come here, Pastor. I really can't. Are you going to pray 21 days? Are you going to go through the guide and say, I'm going to pray out these things? That's a choice. So I don't know how to do that. You tell your outer man, no. No, no, you're going to get up and do this. You're going to put it this part. You do it for 21 days. It's that simple. Just do it. And learn to see how your inward man can start to gain the ascendancy over the outer man. And when your inward life dominates your outer life, you will live a different life. And that's how God's called you to live. That's how he's called me to live. And by the way, that's how he's designed you to live. So I'll close it with this last next step that all of us can do. Playlist is starting the second week after September. And I'm 2 of 52. I'm encouraging every one of you to make a decision now. I'm bringing somebody to Playlist. Now, you can do it once. You can do it all 5 weeks. You can do like one family in our church, when we did it at Christmas, they rented a bus from East Liverpool, Ohio, and filled a passenger bus full of people. So that's radical. It won't be radical when you're in heaven. It feels radical here. Remember this about your eternity. The only thing that you will carry into eternity in terms of reward is what makes it into eternity. Everything else will disappear. Don't live your life so short-sighted that when you draw your final breath, everything you've ever lived and worked for stays on the earth and you carry no eternal reward into eternity. The next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about very specific things. How do you pray for really, in the terms of for Christians, to expand the kingdom? How do you pray for people that don't know God? You know, the Bible teaches you how to pray for them. I'm going to go through some very practical things in the next 2 weeks. But if you'll jump in this, your life will change. I want to close by simply praying over you. But I want to pray with you over you using the Lord's Prayer as a template. And then I'm going to give people an invitation to give their lives to Jesus. Father, I thank you for every person under the sound of my voice. Our Father, which art in heaven, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you love us unconditionally. I thank you, my Father. I thank you. Hallowed be your name. We worship you with our lives. Father, I thank you for your kingdom to come, to expand in this earth and in our lives. Your will be done in this earth, Father God. Your will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. You want it on the earth, Father. I pray that over every life, I pray that across this world, and that we would walk with you in such a way that we'd have intimacy where our daily bread and sustenance in every realm of life would come from you. And that you would forgive us. Thank you for forgiveness. And that we would freely forgive others. And that any bitterness would be dispelled in our lives. And Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that you lead us and you guide us and you direct every person here in this room into the purpose for which you created them. That we would all bow our knee and hallowing your name and saying, it's thy kingdom. It's your power. It's your glory. I exist for you. Father, help me to live this way. Help me to live that your house would be full. Help me to understand that you're screaming for your Alexas and you've called me to go find them. Help me to feel the passion you feel, the desperation you feel. Lord, I pray that with all of my heart over every person, with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here, you've never given your life to Christ. I didn't ask you if you're a good person or you went to church or you were baptized as a baby. All of those things are awesome and wonderful. None of those things will get you to heaven. You cannot, as the heathen do a bunch of stuff and make God love you. God has created and provided the way. He so loved you that he came in human flesh, born of a virgin, for the very purpose of God's judgment that was due you and me coming on Jesus. God judged you guilty. He judged me guilty. But then in his love and his mercy, he came to the earth himself so that he could take our place, and his judgment poured out on himself. And then freely offer to you, freely, anything you earn ceases to be a gift. It is a gift of eternal life. All you have to do is to invite Jesus into your heart. He turns no one away. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, including those of you now that are watching online, if you've never invited Christ into your life or you're not sure, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray for you. Just in a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand and the whole church will pray a prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Lift your hand real high right where you're seated right now and I'll pray for you. Do it now. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You can see I'm not going to embarrass anybody. If you've not yet raised your hand, this isn't about you doing something heroic. It's about you receiving a heroic gift. If you've not yet raised your hand, say, Pastor, include me as well in that prayer. Just raise your hand right now and we'll pray for you as well. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it, and Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you and never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart, the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is wiped away. I am heaven bound. And I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? God bless you. In about 60 seconds, I'm going to be dismissing you. So, and there's no Steelers game today, so you're fine. But here's the thing. I just want to remind every one of you, please, please, please make your next step. If you can come to prayer, come to prayer. Really encourage you to do that throughout these Monday through Fridays only. There won't be prayer on Saturday or Sunday here at the church. But I really encourage you to take those next steps this week. And also, we have four young men with us here today. They're riding their bikes coast to coast. And I met Tanner Ming's father, Jared. He pastors a great church in California, just north of Los Angeles. Met him at a meeting, and he told me what his son was doing. I said, man, when they come through Pittsburgh, let us know. We'll put them up. So we got them in the Marriott because they've been sleeping in tents. And they've been, how many miles have you all driven so far? 2,800 miles. They're raising money for sex trafficking. Isn't that great? Hey, man. Aren't you glad to be able to provide these guys some real food? I took them out to Longhorn last night, let them eat, man. They've been eating nasty stuff and sleep in a real bed, and today's a rest day for them. But we welcome you guys. Thank you for what you're doing. And I'm telling you, this next generation, they are remarkable people. And this next generation of Christians, and I'm telling you, they're incredible. They are going to do things we only dreamed that God could do. It's amazing what they're going to do. So let's stand together. We're going to be dismissed. I'm usually out there to greet you all, but I am leaving here to go to Birmingham, Alabama to drop my girls off at school. I'll be back later on this week, and Shaw and I are starting out the drive this afternoon. Isn't that special? Oh, man. But let's pray together. Thank you so much for coming this week, and come on back. Let's have a great time in the presence of God. Father, thank you so much for these wonderful young men. I pray for divine safety upon them as they travel. I pray that their desire to raise funds to see people set free from human trafficking, that you'll bless them and you'll honor them, that purpose. And Lord, I thank you that as they complete this last leg of their journey, that you give them physical strength, protection, and people to come alongside and love them and serve them. Lord, we go our way today thanking you that you are our Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.